Blog Talk Radio.
Start the clock. Good afternoon. At the tone, time will be real time.
Hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm back. Let's see if we can get Cheryl on the line now. Cheryl, are you there?
I am here. Yep.
Oh, my God. There you go.
Oh, my God.
What is
going on?
Blog Talk Radio, man. They're killing us.
Everybody's
this is Blog Talk Radio,
to,
everybody. This is the service we get on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, everyone's been trying to call in, and no one can hear anything. I don't know what was going on.
Nobody could hear anything I just did, anything I said?
Nothing at all. I don't know. You could have been talking about my mama, and I wouldn't and I would not have heard
so,
it. No, nothing.
So you mean to tell me all these callers I'm seeing, none of them has heard any of the show so far?
No one has heard anything. People have been inboxing me. Leah and I just were inboxing back and forth. Another lady left a post on your wall as well as I did. No one could hear anything. So we missed the last 20 minutes of what you said.
Oh, my God. Well, okay. Let's post now. Let everybody know we're live. Oh, God. Well, let's see. We are live on the air. Now.
So, that was so strange. It was just very weird.
Yeah. Well, you know how Blog Talk
so
Radio
I don't know
is.
If you want to recap. You probably need to because I didn't hear anything you said. So I don't know if you want to recap.
I said some good stuff too. Oh my God, you should have heard me. I was the bomb. I was the bomb all this time, and nobody heard anything I said. That's messed up.
Nobody
oh, well,
heard
we here.
Anything that you said.
This is Let's Change the World. We do this every week. We try to figure out a way to change the world, and we're on the radio. Sorry for the inconvenience, everybody. For those of you who are just tuning in, the Let's Change the World weekly talk radio show is a product of the Let's Change the World movement. The movement is all about everybody doing whatever little bit we can, no matter how small, to positively impact somebody else's life other than our own or to positively impact our community. And if we all do whatever little bit we can, then together we can change the world. And you can visit the www.thechangetheworldmovement.com website to learn more about the movement, www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. I'm sorry, everybody, you missed a whole lot. I did news that impacts your world. I'm not going to go over it all over again because we're short on time. We've got a special guest today, and the topic of our show today is actually Dating 101. We're going to talk about dating from A to Z. We're going to talk about relationships from A to Z, marriage, how to sustain a lasting and loving marriage. And we've got an excellent world-class guest today. She's received numerous awards and recognition and certificates from everywhere, the state of North Carolina, Texas. She's an attorney. She's a law professor of mediation, dispute, and conflict resolution. I could go on and on and on. She's host of her own talk radio show, and we're going to learn more about that. And get your pens and your paper together. This is Dating 101 with Leah Leon. Are you there?
Hello, my goodness.
Hey,
oh,
Leah.
My God,
hi,
you're there.
I've been here since 6:40.
Can you?
No, it's okay. I was praying for
you.
I was hoping
I
nothing
said?
Had happened. Oh no, darling. It was just me and the crickets.
Really?
No,
oh,
we couldn't hear anything.
I went through so much stuff. Oh God. Sorry, y'all out there in Radio Land, but we're going to do this thing right now. This is Dating 101. Grab your pens, grab your paper. You know what? If you've got a spouse or a significant other, get them to dial into the show, too. It's 818-739-8909. Even if they're not with you, all they got to do is pick up a phone and dial in. 818-739-8909. We've got Leah Leon on here right now, and she's going to give us some dating, relationship, marriage advice, and all that kind of stuff. I got questions for you, man. You ready?
Yeah, I got your questions. Do you want me to just start with those? Let's just jump into it.
No, I'm going to ask, and then you respond, because we want to know, we're going to pick your brain today. Okay. First question that I have is, who are you dating?
Oh my!
Right.
Whoa! Hello. Yeah, we did. He's all in the. He's trying
to
get
right to the
show.
Point.
Very private, and I'm going to plead the fifth.
You're going to plead the fifth?
Yes.
Okay.
Next question.
Well, don't think we're not coming back around to that one, because all the guys are going to want to know with that accent.
Okay. No worry.
Now, when we first start dating, okay, a lot of us,
yeah.
we get out of a relationship, we always want to take a little time out, you know what I mean? And then sooner or later it comes back around, I'm ready to date again. And where do we search? You know, where do we go?
Go ahead. Where do you go? Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah. I mean, where do we go? Because a lot of us go to the bar. You know what I mean? And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Not a good thing. So basically, here's what I tell everybody. When you're looking for the person for your life, you should think about your life carefully. So you should be looking in places that are natural that you already go to. So you're not really searching for anyone. You're just in your natural habitat. But you're also not leaving this quest for someone to chance. So you're out and about. You're not staying in your house expecting someone to ring your doorbell. But for men and women, I tell people to go where they are most comfortable, where you're going to be absolutely confident in being who you are, and go where you are going to do things that you like to do, even in the relationship. So I never tell people to go places that they wouldn't be inclined. For example, I love Home Depot because I love to rip up houses and I'm wet with my hands. When I go to Home Depot, it's usually in the morning. There's tons of men in there who would be like-minded and interested with me. I caution people because a lot of women, we're very guilty of this, not me, but a lot of people are. They go to, like, let's say a woman will go to a sports bar to meet a man, but she hates sports. That's very misleading, because what happens is you go to the sports bar, you meet this gorgeous guy, you start dating him, and then after you have him hooked into you, you no longer want to go to the sports bar. He wants to go to the sports bar. He's spending a lot of time there without you, and it just becomes an issue later. So represent yourself truly. Go places where you really like to go already, your natural habitat. You'll meet someone wonderful if you're open to it.
But is the bar really a good place to meet people?
Notice I never put the bar in there.
No, Dan,
this is different. I remember you posting something about meeting or seeing some girl with lots of fake things going on. You know, I don't tell people to meet people in bars. First of all, your judgment is impaired if you've been drinking. So you might see them a little bit cuter than they actually are in the light. It seems like a desperate sort of place. Now, everything I'm saying today has its generalities, right? So there might be people that you have known that have met people in the bar and they've been married 30 years. I'm just simply saying, as the first thought, no, don't try to go somewhere and meet people in bars. It's just not a good place to meet people necessarily.
Yeah, because you're definitely impaired. Your judgment is impaired. And we all know what happens around 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever.
No,
and everybody starts looking good.
Yeah, or better, yeah.
Yeah, everybody starts looking a lot better than they actually do. We've got one caller from the 480. Call in, everybody, 818-739-8909. Express yourself. If you've got questions, feel free to ask them. Or if you've got a personal relative story, call in. Funny or serious, it doesn't matter. From the 480, who am I speaking to? What do you have to say today?
Good afternoon. You're speaking to James Henson. How y'all doing?
James Henson, my main man. What's going on?
Hi, James.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey, listen,
welcome to the show, man.
Thanks, appreciate it. I tried for about 2 hours to get on, but I got nothing. So I thought Cheryl told me to keep trying. So I'll make it really brief. I just want to say, first of all, you guys, I'm glad you all got together, and it sounds really good on air, the three of you. Doing your things. I'm really proud of all three of you, first of all. I know Leah's been waiting like forever to talk to me with Leonard, and I still got to call into their show. But just congratulations for sticking with it. I really mean that. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The only comment I wanted to make was, I'm sorry, say again?
We said thank you.
Everybody's just thanking you, man.
Was that Cheryl to thank me?
Yes, it was.
Well,
and
I'm
not drinking Sam Pippo today.
Anyway, the point is, I want to make it real brief. Listen, in terms of the dating, I think Leah's right on the money with her analysis of how to meet people. I think that is so spot on, because I think so many people are afraid and yet at the same time want to be bold at the same time. And, drinking only enhances foolishness. I mean, and I drink, so I'm not against not a teetotaler or anything like that. But at the same time, a friend of mine always said to me, if we're going to go out, let's go out and, we're going to meet some girls or something, back in college. And he said, we got to leave at about midnight. And I would be like, why leave at midnight? He said, because after midnight, the drink starts talking. And that means your mouth starts saying things it shouldn't say. Other people's mouths start saying things they shouldn't say. Men get a little bolder. Women get a little bit more flirty. And then it's just foolishness. So if you're serious about dating, at midnight, she turns into a pumpkin, you turn into a frog. I mean, that's pretty much how it goes. So I rule the bars out altogether. So for me, I'm comfortable in my work environment. And that goes not only for filming, but just do the contract work that I do legally. It's just the best way to be yourself, as she said. She is spot on. And if you're used faking the funk, you got to get unused to faking the funk and be yourself. Because people can see right through it, particularly those who, like myself, have been married or have been in long-term relationships, can see through that crap right away, And you can't fake who you are. So the more you know about who you are, be you a male or female, the better your chances of meeting somebody that's going to be more compatible. So that's it. I'm not a preacher, and I'm certainly not a relationship expert. I'm looking at you guys, and we're looking forward to hearing you guys. I'm in a very noisy place about to watch the Cavs game, but I'm definitely got an ear to what you're doing. Keep moving, stay positive, and above all, keep informing people that they're not the only ones out there with problems or issues, or they don't have to be alone, okay?
Thanks, James.
All right.
Go Warriors. Sorry.
Okay. No, we're not having any Warriors talk on this show. We're not having any Warriors talk on this show.
Yeah, there we go. Y'all handle that. Take it easy. God bless you all. Take care.
All right, take care, man. This is definitely a Cleveland show. Okay,
next question.
Listen, I got a question real quick. Because speaking of what James just said, he said he personally said that he likes it meet people in his work environment. So that leads me to say, how does that really, you know, when people work together and you're a couple, mm-hmm. how does that actually work? Because you're working with each other, you're leaving home, you're at home all day with each other, then you're going to work and you're seeing each other, spending all that time at work. How does that, I mean, how do they connect with that? I can't see myself dating someone that I work with. How do they make
well,
that work?
You know, I always say to people, don't lay where you work, because it becomes an issue. It does. But there's a way around it. Even if you meet someone in your working environment, there's a way to have balance, and you have to really identify this need for balance. And so you might be in that relationship where you're going to have to take much more time and care to not spending as much time with that person. So there'll be more me time centered around your relationship, because you're right, Cheryl, you can't work all day, come home all day and night, every single day, without taking that time. And so you're just going to have to spend more time engaging yourself in some me time.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that when you date somebody at work, you know, if you have an argument at home or whatever, and then you come to work, and the attitudes tend to show while you're at work, you know, or then you get in a situation where in the break room, you know, maybe, you know, one of you starts talking to a friend of yours about your own personal situation. You know what I'm saying? And it's just not good.
Yeah.
And everybody can tell what's going on.
Yeah, it's a little
and then if one of you gets promoted, and then if one of you gets promoted, that can be an issue too, right?
Yeah, that's a whole other issue. But I mean, there's lots of couples that have businesses together, and again, you just have to really spend a little bit more extra effort to carve out some time where you're not always together, because that also changes the dynamic, and it's not so monotonous, and it keeps the spark alive.
So you're not in favor of spending a ton of time together. You're more in favor of making sure, because the old saying is absence makes the heart grow fond. You agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think in relative term, that's true to a point. You know, I always tell couples that it's important to still be individuals, though you are sharing your life with someone. And so I'm not one of these people who advocate, listen, I need tons of time alone. I think that time together is very quality spent. But to be realistic, you do want to separate some to give, like you said, a fonder appreciation to someone, to miss them, to have time away. But you also want to continue to maintain your individuality within the duality of the relationship. So play different hats. You know, role-playing is a really good way that I tell my clients. If
okay,
you can't
let's
get
not get ahead of
away,
ourselves. We're going to get into
at
that.
At least play role-play, yeah.
Oh, boy.
We're going to
get
in.
Take some time apart.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so look, so now we're dating, you know, we've decided we're going to date, and by the way, I before we go on to the next question, personally, I like grocery stores, okay?
Yeah.
Because when you're at the grocery store, you know, and you're walking around, you can always find something to talk about, you know, oh, you like that brand of cereal, you know what I mean? Or, my gosh, beef sure has gotten high now, right? You know, so it's a great way to not sound like you're coming on to somebody, but just start a casual conversation, and, you know, you can kind of tell if somebody likes you or not, and, you know, you can continue the conversation. And then you can all
stalk
people really well in a grocery store, too. So.
Oh, my.
Oh,
I don't want to talk about that. But the real other reason that grocery stores are great to engage with people, Dale and Cheryl, is because when you're at the grocery store, most times, you're there and you're in your own condition, meaning that you're not dressed up. You are wearing what you normally wear. And so you're kind of in a dressed-down, comfortable mode, and that's the reality of who you are. You know, I can think of how many times I've been to the grocery market, and I'm not dolled up. I want a man to see me like that, because that's who I really am, and he needs to see me comfortable. And if he thinks that's hot, oh, wait till I dress that thing up. But he needs to see
right.
you. And again, when you're in your natural habitat, it's most important, because you're not sending in your representative. You're sending yourself in as you really are, and that allows people to accept you or not. And that's the best thing.
I like the way she said that. If he thinks that's hot, then wait till I dress this thing up. True that. Versus going the opposite way, you know what I mean? Where have you ladies ever seen "I'm Gonna Get You, Sucker"? That movie, and the lady, you know, the guy takes the lady home, then she takes off the wig, and then she takes off the fake eyelashes, wipes off all the makeup.
Right.
She's got a wooden leg. She takes that off. You know,
it's horrible.
It's crazy. Call in, everybody, 818-739-8909. I see a lot of people out there calling in, listening. Don't be afraid to dial number one. Come on the air and ask Leah some questions or share a personal story. Next question.
Right. And speaking of that, well, you know what? Before you go on to the next question, speaking of that, and I just wanted to say this real quick. Because when you guys were saying, you were saying going to the grocery store and, you're there with no makeup on. It's just like that is your natural look. I know a person personally who, and Leah and Dale, this is the honest God truth, and Leah, this is my question. I know a person that makes her face up before she goes to bed. Now, mind you, she's been married to her husband. I was in her wedding, actually, and I know they've been married for well over 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that? Is it this is your husband. You guys have been married for a long time.
Can we hold that question until we get to that part?
I've already asked it. I'm talking about foundation. I'm talking about the whole nine.
Okay, so two quick things. That's probably not good for your skin in the long run. Secondly, I'm very concerned about her skin. But secondly, you know, obviously it's working for them if they've been married that long. And third, I will say this. Now, there are two schools of thought in my mind about that. First of all, men are very visual creatures. That's the truth. You know, I always advocate for women and men to not go to bed looking like they're going to play sports or they're going to be in sweating it out in the bed. You know, it's just not a good look. It's not visually appealing. I'm not suggesting lingerie and the whole bit. I am saying be comfortable in your skin and maybe don't go with socks. And I know a lot of women wear the bonnet and the jogging pants and the T-shirt. That's just not my deal. And I tell women, just mind you, that sometimes you're going to have to do a little bit differently in bed or going to bed to spice things up because men are very visual creatures. If she's wearing makeup and he's there 15 years, he must like it. So if he likes it, I love it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't come to bed with me looking a mess. I'm going to tell you right now, that's not going to work out. Okay.
Number two.
Okay, so we were at dating. We were at dating, but thanks to someone, we got off target anyway.
You know what, Dale? See, this is my radio husband. Dale, don't start with me, Dale. Now let's move on.
Okay. Okay, I don't want to get beat up. Now, look, here's what happens. We start dating, so we're out and we're searching, and I listen to women especially because I'm a guy. I don't listen to guys. I listen to women. And I hear women saying all the time, man, I want a guy who's sensitive. I want a guy who's loving and caring, who's going to treat me like this and like that and so on and so forth. But who they actually end up choosing is someone completely the opposite. And I'm sure guys do the same thing. But why is it that we choose when we actually, you know, we're out searching for someone today, why do we choose the absolute opposite of what we actually want?
Well, that's a very good question. And one of the reasons why is very crucial to understand if you're going to either make some changes or as you're searching for someone. And I really want people to really listen to this answer. The first reason is, psychologically speaking, our subconscious rules our consciousness. And so the subconscious, having been exposed to everything that we are about, like the best computer known to the world and the universe, programs all data, okay? So it never gets rid of it. And your subconscious mind can really rig your conscious mind to make choices based on past selection. And so it has this data, and it continues to put this data forward of you. That's why your memories, when you first smelled something that smelled awful, you knew what that smelled, and you said, oh, that's horrible. I get sick if I smell that. You know, your taste buds, everything. It's all like a computer generating data constantly. And so you are a creature of habit based on your subconscious programming. And so whatever you've been used to and accustomed to, that is your natural inclination. Now, let's assume those are always bad choices for you, and those have been bad girls or bad boys. In order to break that cycle from your subconscious programming you that way, you're going to have to plug in more positives. You're going to have to start doing things different. And over time, the continuation of positive input and data is going to change and alter your perspective about it. And many people only seek people they're attracted to. That's another issue. They're not looking at who's best for them in terms of compatibility. And attraction doesn't make up for chemistry. And people love to say this to me. Well, you know, opposites attract, Leah. Yes, but in most cases, that's all they do is attract. If you try to live together for a long time, it can be a challenge. I'm not suggesting that opposites who are married, so don't call the show and hate me. I'm not suggesting that there's not a number for those type of people who marry their opposite and they're very happy, is more work to find someone who is completely polar from you. Because what's going to happen is you're going to continue to pull them in, beg them to come onto your side of the world and see your perspective on activities and commonalities and things to do, and you're going to be vice versa doing the same to them. It's very draining. And so people should really, A, program in new data into their subconscious to start meeting the real person that they need, not necessarily want, but need. And if that's always been negative, you have to start putting in positive influence into your mind and into your life and making real change that lasts, so your subconscious can program your conscious mind into understanding that. But that is a challenge. It really is a challenge.
You know what? That makes so much sense because I'm founder of Unlimited Education. We did a lot of research on that for a different reason. But, yes, you do. We are creatures of habit. And when, for example, you have parents, you know, and let's say you're a young girl and you have two parents, a husband and a wife, and the little girl is accustomed to how her dad treats her mother, you know, and let's say it's not in a nice way. You know, then that sticks with her. So she's wondering why when she grows up, she's saying to herself the whole time, I'm never going to marry a guy like my dad, you know. But lo and behold, she ends up dating and marrying a guy just like her dad. And so what you're saying is, you know, she's been programmed that this is what she's accustomed to. And her subconscious mind, even though her conscious mind is saying, I don't want this, subconsciously she does.
Absolutely, and it's the same for everything in our lives. I mean, when you look at people who have gone and, let's say, had bariatric surgery and they were really obese, okay, that person will still tell you, when I see myself in the mirror, I don't see a skinny person. I still see the mindset of the person who was obese. Because your psychology is already programmed. And so, again, you have to plug in more positive data in order to change that. And you have to have that be consistent over a longer period of time before your conscious mind totally takes that in. And people are creatures of dysfunction a lot of times, too. So we'll find that you'll keep choosing the same bad guy or the same bad girl. Because the good girl and the good guy, you're just not used to them. You don't even know what to do with them. You always use that line, oh, you're too good to be true, and all that foolishness. But it's very challenging. But I encourage everyone listening to start changing their psychology. And change is hard, but it's so necessary if you want a better acting person or what you term a good person. But you have to really sit down and say, what is that for me? What does that look like? Who is this person?
Okay, let's talk about me. Okay, that is something that that is something that I hear from women, you know, I've heard my entire life, I swear, is women will say, there's got to be something wrong with you. You're too good to be true. And it's like they're sitting there, they start waiting on me to do something wrong and expecting me to do something wrong or expecting to find out something bad about me. And over time, it puts a strain on the relationship because, you know, I get tired of that. You know what I mean?
Well, let me tell you this, Dale, and anybody listening, if someone you meet and you're, let's say you're being an absolutely nice person and you're engaging with someone and they say that to you, that's a huge red flag. I always tell people, start moving the other way, because what that says to you and what you should understand that to mean is that they have yet to find anybody decent and good to value them and show them as worthy of good treatment. And you're absolutely right. That's going to be such a deterrent later, because they're not going to trust you. They're going to wait for the shoe to drop. And eventually, they're going to self-sabotage the relationship. They're not going to be able to believe that you really are this nice and they have not earned it. That's a real dysfunction. And when I tell people, when people say, hey, that's, you're too good to be true, well, then what do you expect for yourself? Bad? You know, that's a red flag. Who says that? We don't even teach our kids that. You know, we are programmed to marry up, marry the doctor, the lawyer, the teacher, the educated. You know, we never say, hey, go out and find the horrible, most horrible guy you can find. So when someone comes around and says, oh, you're too good to be true, well, that says a lot of how they see themselves and what they're worthy of. Personally, I don't have time for it. Anybody says saying that to me, I'm done. Check, please. Because it shows you they're not accustomed to anything good. So don't try to stay in there and prove them wrong. And that's another fatal mistake. Because like you, it sounds like you said, after they said that, you kept going along with them thinking, no, I'll just show you because I'll be consistent. I'll still keep doing the right things.
Yeah.
And you'll come around. It never works. Because you're trying, are trying to change their subconscious mind and their programming. You're trying to change it, not themselves. And that is a challenge. And eventually they're going to self-sabotage. They're going to go back to what they're used to because they really haven't made any changes. It's not a good look.
You're spot on with that, because that's exactly what I do. You know, I'll say, well, they'll see sooner or later. You know, I'm just going to keep being myself. You know, nothing's going to change. But then they keep doing the same thing. I'm just waiting. You're going to do something. I'm going to find out something about you, you know, and sooner or later, you're right. They'll do something to sabotage it because they get tired of waiting on something bad that in their mind they know is going to happen. So they'll sabotage it before it happens because it's taking too long to happen.
Yeah, and if I break up with you before you do whatever inevitably I think you're going to do to me, I break up with you first so I don't have to deal with whatever hurt I think is coming. And that just shows that you've been in a lot of dysfunction, and it's just no good. I mean, I tell people when you meet people like that, pray them away and go about your day.
Right, exactly.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, I see a lot of callers out there, 818-739-8909. If you're sitting there listening and you have questions, you know, just dial the number one and we'll bring you on. You can ask your question. Or if you have a personal story that's funny or that's sad or that's interesting, dial that number one and tell us your personal story. We want to hear it, okay? Did you have something, Cheryl?
Well, I actually, to be honest with you, when you were saying – or you and Leah both were saying that they, so the other person, will do something to sabotage it. But looking at both sides, you know, they probably would feel the same way that you're feeling. You understand what I'm saying? If that makes sense, it's like the blame game where everyone is pointing the finger back and forth at one another. So I feel like it's on both sides. I really do. I feel like it's on both sides.
That's an interesting notion. Okay, I'll share a personal story. Some time ago, I dated this gentleman, and I was doing everything that I normally do as me, okay? And it happened to be in sync with him, so he said. And at some point, he said to me, I'm just really afraid, and I have a lot of concerns about you. And I said, well, what are your concerns? That you're going to leave me. Why would I leave you? So that's what I'm talking about in terms of self-sabotage. So he became so fixated on saying, I'm going to leave you, I'm going to leave you. And if I could just get religious just for a minute, you know, if you read the Bible says what we fear the most shall come upon us. So eventually, yes, fool, I did leave you because I was tired of you telling me I was going to leave you. So it wasn't anything. It was not anything I was doing. I mean, I was being perfect girlfriend, if there is such a thing. But he just could not, because of his own insecurities of never having a woman stick with him, imagined that I was going to be there for the long haul. And over time, he just continued to do things that would make me stay. And then he flipped it to me. He's like, see, I knew you'd leave. Well, who wouldn't if you're misery all the time? You know, so
exactly.
it's just self-conditioning. And the other thing I want to say about, you know, choosing someone, whether you're attracted or opposite, you really have to think about your life and look at it this way. You have to want to spend time with yourself, by yourself, and alone without anybody else first. You have to be comfortable in your space. And then the quest is to find someone as close as you can to you. And people always say to me, well, that seems like it would be boring. Then you must find yourself very boring. And so, therefore, you need to change it. Because I personally love a guy who, like me, loves sports, wants to just hang out, doesn't want to talk a lot during the game, wants to have some beer and some wings, and then we do whatever grown folks do after the fact. We go to dinner, we do this, you know, and we, together, because we're not cloned, we keep it spicy. But he's like me. We like golf, I like golf. He likes tennis, I like tennis. That's a perfect made-in-heaven situation, not this one where I hate tennis, I hate golf, I hate sports, and he's just begging me the whole time, please, can you come? And then when I get there, I got such a bad attitude, he never asks me again. And then he starts spending separate and alone time apart from me, then I'm sad because he's never spending time, and then we break up. So stop trying to find the opposite. If you're an introvert, go find an introvert. If you say, oh, well, I'm trying to get an extrovert so they can bring something out of me. Listen, go spend money on a therapist to bring something out of you. Don't put that burden on someone else to create something you aren't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Y'all
right.
heard that, didn't you?
Interesting.
Y'all heard
Thanks,
that.
Girl.
If you're an introvert, go pay a therapist to bring it out of you. Don't try to find a man or a woman to bring it out of you. What do they know? And so you've a lot of times we choose the person who's not right for us. So basically what you're saying is go for someone. First of all, you have to recognize what your pattern is. If you're one of these people who are tired of dating the same old person, say you always end up with the same old, you know, abusive guy, or if you're a woman or if you're a guy, you end up with the same type of woman. You have to look at yourself and say, look, I need to start changing something.
Yeah, because you're the same old
person. In other words, you said you have to change the data that's going into your mind. Yeah.
If you're meeting the same old person, you must be the same old you. I don't care how you change cities, change jobs, you must be the same. Because otherwise you would stop attracting that sort of person. So, yes.
But you
know
have
to change something within you.
As well. Yeah, I want to say this as well. And I always say this, when they say first impressions are lasting ones. But to me, it's like when you first meet a person, that's not them. I feel like, and that's why I can't agree with you as far as like going to the grocery store, you know, just playing Jane, being yourself, because that's not them. It's like a representative of them, you know, because they put on these facades and both women and men do it. And then later on down the line when they start getting comfortable, then to me, the majority of people, that's when the real them starts to surface. You know what I mean? Like when you first meet a person.
No, it's absolutely true. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
But you know what I find? You know what I find? If women and men both individually would stop that, so if the more free you are, the more the person will model such behavior. You know, so if you have bad dinner habits, I don't know, maybe you smack, go ahead and smack on that date. Do whatever it is you do, because when you show that behavior, the other person responds in like way. They just kind of let themselves go. I mean, we both sort of, as men and women, go into this thing just faking it completely. You know, I mean, if whatever your habits are.
In worst case scenario, you can save a lot of time, right? Because, you know, especially if you're a guy and you're taking a woman out, why take her out 3 or 4 times to find out that she hates smacking and she will not date a guy who smacks? You should have smacked on the first day. That way she knows you smack, and she doesn't like it. Now you don't have to take her out anymore, you know?
And not only that, if you're absolutely right, Dale. I mean, it's a waste of time. And here's the thing. You're wasting more time yourself because you're not putting yourself forward to find who you really are compatible with. You know how many clients I have who actually hate hugging, hate affection, hate touching, but they are married or they're dating people who are huggers all day long? Like, what are you thinking? you hate to be touched, but you marry the guy who's like bear hugging everybody who he doesn't even know. That is so draining. Can you imagine? I would never force myself to be in a situation of opposite. No, I'm a hugger. He's a hugger. I mean, it's so unbelievable. I meet a lot of men who are with women who have zero need for affection. And they survive it because of other external things, that she's beautiful or she's smart. And they keep up with her, which is ridiculous, because then they go cheat with the girl that they really need.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's big with guys, because we will put up with a whole lot because of the way a woman looks. But then in the end, you know, we're going to get miserable and go out and cheat to find a woman that really makes us happy.
Yeah. So, again, in final of that question, love yourself. Love who you are. You're the introvert, nerd. You love yourself. You spend all day with yourself being quiet. Go find another quiet person. And together, when you're both feeling like you want to talk, you'll talk. But don't go find the extrovert who you just want to shut up. It's not going to work.
Okay. So if you don't like yourself, improve yourself, and then you're going to go search for somebody, searching places where you are comfortable at, like the grocery store and places like that. And then when you find a person and you decide, hey, let's go out, okay, what is to guys? Let's talk to guys first, because guys usually are the ones who do the most asking to take a woman out. What are the best ways to ask a woman out, and what is totally out of the pocket?
The best way for a man to ask a woman out is to just approach the woman. I think men have a great advantage of this, because men are typically, okay, genetically speaking, hunter-gatherers. And so your hunter-gatherer is looking at his prey. And so if the woman is his prey, he needs to observe her. See what kind of woman she seems to be. Don't shoot the gun quickly all the time. Kind of lay low. If she's in the market, check her out for a couple, without being stalkerish, right? Check her out. See what kind of girl she seems to be. Is she smiling at other people in the store? So would she be even engaged if you came up to her? You know, kind of lay low and watch her a little bit. Or if you're at a party or some other location, just kind of check it out. And then, you know, the best way, I think, for guys is to stop the game. You know, just go up to a woman and say, hey, you know what, I happen to look up, man, I think you're attractive. Don't say, I'm sure you hear this all the time. Maybe she doesn't. Hey, pretty girls don't get dates all the time. You know, just be yourself. You know, don't use some cornball line. Just go up to a woman, compliment whatever made you impulsively come over to her. Ask if she's seeing someone, and don't do this. I always tell men, this is such a bad sign when you say, I'm sure your husband is so happy, or your boyfriend, just to find out if she's married or has a boyfriend. That's garbage. It's a waste of time. Women are so turned off by that. At least I am, and I tell my clients, you know, when you're trying to meet a woman, don't try to use that line. Oh, you know, I bet you your boyfriend is so happy with you. Well, if I have a boyfriend, why the heck would I be talking to you? Just ask me if I have a boyfriend, and I'll tell you.
Well,
you know, so just be direct. Yep, from.
How about this one? You must know karate, because that body is kicking.
Oh, my God. Are you saying that, Dale?
Yeah, I know. Is that a line
of truth? Oh my God, I've never even heard that crap.
Right. And that's why you're single.
But I wouldn't worry.
No. And you know what? The other thing is this, I always tell men, because you're asked about men, offer the woman your contact information. In 2015, it's pretty scary for a man, in my personal opinion, to ask me for my personal information. Let me be discerning of you. So just come up to me and say, hey, I liked you. You looked attractive. Are you single? She says, yes. You say, are you open and interested in meeting new people? Sure. Okay, now you're to the part where you're going to get some information. Don't say, can I have your number? No, here's my number. You want to call me? I'd love to hear from you. Don't put it on her to give up personal information. To me, that's a little scary with men these days. So I always tell men, just to lay low, hey, you're the secure one. You're walking up to her. Put your best show on and then bounce out of there. Make her want you even more, possibly. But just say, hey, here's my card. Here's my phone number. If you wish, you know, I'd love to hear from you. No pressure. Thanks. Nice to meet you. Take off. It's her choice. It's a woman's choice.
Okay. Now, that sounds like a recipe for not getting a phone call.
Well, then you didn't have a game in the first place, and that's the person you don't want. It's a quick, that's an easy one. You had no game,
because
she wasn't interested, and so now you've moved on. She's not the girl for you.
Hmm. Okay.
Because I don't know a single woman, if a man, let's use Idris Elba, everybody seems to like him, right? I don't know a single woman in the world, if Idris Elba came with appropriate manners and kind of handled himself in the way I just said, that she would not, if she felt so inclined or attracted, call him. I don't know any women that don't call the man that she wants to call. If she doesn't call you, that's great. You can move on and not waste your time. The girl for
most women I've talked to in the past, they've, you know, I'm talking about just friendly conversation with women. They say that, you know, they're apprehensive about calling a guy for the first time. So if he doesn't get her number, she's never going to call him the first time.
Well, then she's
I've heard that from a lot
of
women.
Yeah, she's wasting time on gender appropriateness and not feeling. Listen, I personally, for safety reasons, don't want a man to have my phone number first. I have no problem if he's already made the first step by rewarding him in that way as a gentleman to say, hey, I did find you attractive. Thank you for not putting any pressure on me. I'm going to call you. And then I will feel comfortable giving him my information if the first phone call goes well. You know, but I don't know what, you know, most women I know want the choice. And if they have the choice and they like you, they call you. Now, those women that are suggesting what you were saying, I'm sure they're out there. They're not any of my clients. And they're not about, oh, well, I'm not going to call a guy for the first, I'm not calling him first. And that's a game. Listen, if you like him, call him. Knock it off, ladies, if you're doing that. It's ridiculous.
Now, what is a great first date consist of?
Oh, boy. Okay, so a great first date. This is my advice across the board, men and women. Be casual. Wear comfortable clothes because, again, you want to make sure you are looking good and feeling good. You wore those two cute shoes that are killing your feet, you're not going to be that much fun. You're not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be a great day. You're not going to exude the confidence you want to exude naturally. If you're a woman, I always say, don't wear the stiletto if you're not a stiletto girl, because you're just showing out, and you're not even that girl. And men are very, very, again, into appearances, and they're going to hold you to, sorry, that's my office phone, they're going to hold you to the standard that you set initially as a first expectation. And so a great first date starts with your attire, the place you choose. Pick a non-threatening location that absolutely is comfortable for both of you. Go somewhere that's fun. So you kind of have to ask each other, what are you into? Okay, I like miniature golf. Oh, me too. Let's go. Okay, I like billiards. Perfect. Don't go to strip clubs unless you want to convey a message that you're easy or you're a freak. It's not a good look. Don't go to the bar. Don't go to the club. Don't go to the movies. I can't tell you how many people I know actually go to the movies as a first date. You want to make sure you're going somewhere that you can engage and have a conversation, that you can actually hear that person. I'm not saying that people haven't gone in the movies as first dates. I don't recommend it. I don't recommend you go anywhere that's loud. You want to spend some time getting to know somebody. So best first dates, coffee shop.
You know what my favorite place, and don't judge me. I know you guys are going to judge me. But my favorite place to take a woman on a first date is the comedy club, because to me, it gets rid of all the awkwardness of a first date, because as soon as you both start laughing, you know what I mean, then you start, you know, being yourself, and, you know, it's fun, both of you are having a good time, and you can get some decent conversation in here and between jokes. When you leave, you know, you both are still in a good mood, you're laughing, and then the conversation can continue.
Okay, so I like that you're saying when you leave, you go somewhere else and the conversation continues. I often don't think comedy shows are good first dates if you're just doing that. But if what you're suggesting, Dale, is that you go to the comedy show to sort of release and relieve these anxieties
right,
of the first day,
yeah.
and then you go somewhere else, maybe to a coffee shop or somewhere quiet or somewhere that you can engage each other, great. But just
yes.
be careful to not end the date there, because if you do that, you really haven't spent any time and you have no idea who the person is beyond anything.
Right. Right, because you can't, you guys are not talking because you're listening to the comedian. So you guys are not
yeah, you're just laughing
each other. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And
no, you definitely follow up. Go ahead.
With someplace else. Yeah. As long as you're doing that.
Right,
okay,
definitely follow up. But it's
the,
a good way to start because it gets rid of the awkwardness and gets you both laughing, having a good time. And then,
well,
you know what, it gets the day started off on a good foot.
I got to say this, Dale, though. On a first date, I don't know if I want to sit with a stranger in the dark. I just don't. I mean, that's a very intimate setting.
Uh-huh.
You're in the dark. I don't know. I personally don't want to be in the dark with someone I don't know. And assuming I'm
what
on a first
clubs
date,
do you
I don't
go
know
to?
Him very well. Well, they have the lights
well,
low.
They are. Yeah,
the
they
light
are.
Is only shined on the comedian.
Right. That's creepy, Dale.
I don't want to do it. it's a little
I
bit,
don't go
yeah,
to
I don't
dark,
know.
Creepy places like that. Okay.
Places. Well, let me say this also. I also tell people, also don't go anywhere where there's going to be some competitive sport between you. So, you know, you take
mm-hmm.
her to play pool and you win the game. Now you're rolling in her face or celebration end zone. Some people really take competitive sport the top, and they sort of taunt the other person, not a good thing. So go somewhere where neutrally you feel comfortable, but also spike it up a little bit with adventure. If you know you always take your dates to a particular place, change up a little bit. Come out of your comfort zone, just a little.
I like
okay,
amusement
I can agree
parts,
with
too.
That. I can agree with that, but I think, too, based upon how mature the person is, and the only reason why I'm saying that because I personally, I'm like you, Leah, I'm a sports fanatic. I love sports.
Mm-hmm.
I love them.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like to shoot pool every now and then, throw darts, you know what I mean? But I think
mm-hmm.
based upon the individual, what you're saying is true. But based upon the individual, I think it's the maturity thing because, yeah, if you lose and the person is rubbing in your face, you know what I mean? Some people are sore losers and some aren't.
I mean, those guys who, you know, who have a lot, those guys, hopefully, by a certain age, they have a little bit of finesse. So if you're shooting a game of pool and you
right.
see that she's not really a good pool shooter, you know, you're going to miss a
or
few
he,
balls here and there,
he.
You know, and or vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, either way.
Right,
but I'm
right.
just making a point that you're going to try and, you know, make sure you don't rub your skill in their face.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
I'm going to.
See, we know how you
yeah,
are.
I mean, a lot of men, I got to tell you, Cheryl, a lot of men tell me that on the first date, the woman sort of made him, sort of emasculated him by going on and on and on about her win and how she did this and do that. And a lot of men see that. It's a strange psychological phenomenon that actually happens between the sexes where initially the man is supposed to be this brawn kind of guy, kind of showing you his wares, showing you he's this big guy, he's going to protect you. And then you go in a situation of competitive sport, you might whip his butt. He's feeling some kind of way a little bit. Now, he may not ever show it. Some guys are stronger than others, like you just said. Somehow, you know, some guys can take it and mature. But some men don't, and it's just because he's going to maybe. He may think this in his mind. Now, he might be turned on by this, but he may be thinking, to those girls, okay, I see now I'm going to have to buck this down. You know, he's thinking already, like, oh, okay, she's got a lot of lip talking. Okay. He's setting up in his head who you are by that short little engagement of how you're talking trash and waving your hand, like, yeah, I get you. I killed you, you know, this kind of thing. Some men
it's
like
so
it, some men don't.
Fun, though.
And beware of a guy who can't lose a pool game or a game of darts or something like that and be a good sport about it. Beware. I'm
yes.
speaking from a male perspective.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's probably not the guy for you, Cheryl.
A girl beats you in a game of pool and he takes it all. Beware of that guy. So you're out on the first date, and now you guys are dating for quite a while and everything. Are there any dating rules? You know what I mean? Because a lot of people get bogged down into, you know, in how this is all supposed to go. You know what I mean? Are there any dating rules?
Yeah, I love this question. So, of course, we've heard from Steve Harvey's 90-day rule with the whole sleeping together and all this stuff. And, you know, the first is, some people, let's address that, okay? Should you sleep with the person right away? Should you sleep with them on the first date? I always tell people this. Listen, how you start is how you need to finish. You start the race one way, you understand that there are consequences to that behavior, which set patterns of expectation. You fly off the handle and you sleep with somebody that you do not know on the first date, the 10th date, that person, male or female, is already considering that, A, that behavior is going to continue. So if you dare say, oh, let's stop having sex, they're probably not going to be happy. The second is you're giving them an expectation that you're a little bit easier in the quest. Now, they may not think that you're a bad person, but they are thinking, how serious is this person about a long-term objective of marriage? Are they serious? Are they aren't? They're going to maybe be a little bit leery to think, I'm going to have to keep my eye open. Does she do this everywhere? Does he do this everywhere? What's going on here? Okay. So whatever the rule is about sex, you need to talk about it. People don't also talk about it. The other is some people like to work for their food, you know, so don't give everything up straight away. But I also don't believe that people should hold out for a purpose, because I hear a lot of people playing that game. Yeah, I'm going to make him wait, or I'm going to make her wait 3 months, and then I'm going to break her off. Listen, that's all gameplay. And the first thing you do when you do that is you piss people off. The second is you make them stay in the game long enough just to get it so they can quit it. Don't do it. Just when you feel the right time, advantage of the time. So that's one important, important rule. The other, don't show everything automatically right away, because you leave nothing to be desired. You know, I always see women on the first date and they have cleavage, or the man is wearing something super tight. Listen, let me imagine some of the things so I can get to know you without all of this external stuff. The other reason I tell people not to sleep with people straight away is this one hormonal thing that people don't actually know, but it's very critical. So when we sleep with somebody, there are a lot of hormones being exchanged, like oxytocin and testosterone, progesterone, estrogen, and then this wonderful little hormone called vasopressin arginine. And what this hormone does is it coincides after you sleep with somebody and during the time you sleep with somebody, it kicks in with oxytocin and it makes the woman feel coupled. Men have testosterone, which is in complete counter to this hormone. So that's why men get up and they don't feel like cuddling, and women feel like, oh, I want to cuddle. It's coupling. And so when that stuff starts to happen, you will play tricks on yourself thinking, oh, he's perfect for me. Actually, he isn't. It's the hormone talking. Or she's perfect for me. No, it isn't. It was the sex talking. And so it skews things. Get to know the person. That's a huge rule. I'll stop right there.
Wow.
I'm sure you have something to say to that, Dale.
And that's true. That is so true. Because
yeah,
women are
no,
like that.
I believe that because, you know, but I think it can go either way. It sounds like it can go either way because, you know, sometimes the guy, he might be feeling the same way. You know, sometimes I hear a lot of women say a lot of guys, you know, don't want to cuddle, and they do, this, that, and the other. But sometimes it can be the guy wants to cuddle and the woman doesn't.
Well, it's not really the cuddling that's actually happening. It's a psychological, again, phenomenon that this arginine mixes with your hormones. But for the male, the testosterone blocks this hormone because of genetics. We had to be men of hunter-gatherers. Mm. You had to spread your love around to help procreate the world. And so women were a little bit different during this time when we were all being created. And so they wanted to keep and nestle because we became nurturers and mothers. So I'm not really focusing on the cuddling so much, but I am focusing on this, two distinctions. Women incline themselves to overlook red flags in the beginning because we feel so coupled with you because of this hormone transfer. The second is men feel connected if it's a bomb sex. okay? So he's not cuddling. He's not cuddling because he's
it
emotional
on him, in other words.
Bear. She rocked his world, and now he wants to cuddle.
Right.
It's not because of the hormonal structure. Yeah, let's be clear. So that's a rule that I think people should really wait to do. And the other is that women and men have totally different standards. And a lot of men have harsher double standards than women do. So a man is going to remember the way that you begin a relationship, and he will oftentimes kind of set that in stone, where a woman is open to being resilient, to allowing you to sort of dictate how the engagement is going to go from the first date forward. A man is like, I met you as a freak. I'm expecting you to be a freak. You better be a freak. And a woman sort of says, well, I met you as a nice guy, and I'll take you sometimes as this guy, and I'm open. Oh, baby, just be who you want to be. You know, so we're sort of different, and we have these horrible double standards, and it isn't fair. But a lot of men, so let's say a man meets a woman, and he says, so what are you looking for? She says, a long-term relationship. What kind? I want to be married. Then she sleeps with you on the first date. Automatically in your head, if you're thinking of marriage, you're going to see her, not necessarily marriage material. She'd be a good freak on the side, but I don't know if she'd be the mother of my kid the way she just rocked my world on the first date. I don't know. And he won't necessarily want to let you out of that. It's a very dangerous territory for a woman. So if you want to be married, you want to be marriage-minded, you want him to respect you that way, I always say, women, be mindful about what you're doing. Go ahead and do it, but know there might be some consequences as to how he sees you later, because he may not see you fairly.
Wow, I can't believe none of you guys have any questions out there. We got the, oh, my God, the 480, the 614, the 678, the 216, the 847. I could go on and on. All you guys out there, nobody's got any questions? Dial that number one. I know you got something to say.
They're soaking up this.
Yeah, they're soaking it up.
Yeah,
this is good stuff.
Absolutely on point. Yeah, it really
is. This
is
good
stuff.
Where can they hear all this stuff on a regular basis? Tell them about your show.
Well, yeah. So my show is Life, Love, No Chaser. It's on Blog Talk. You can always find us Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern by calling 347-637-3718. We're on Twitter at LL No Chaser. We're on Facebook, Life, Love, No Chaser. But I also, all this stuff that you've heard today is coming out in a book that I've been writing called, you know, Dating 101, which is your title exactly of the show. So I'm glad, I was so enthralled to hear that you wanted to do the show. But it's Dating 101, How to Set Your Own Rules is the book that's coming out. So just look for that. Oh, in a, you know, probably in a few months. I have so much going on. I just need to buckle down and finish. But this stuff is not rocket science. It really isn't. I think people should take time dating, get to know the person, ask them about their past, ask them about their present, ask them about their goals of the future. Talk about everything. What makes you sad? What makes you happy? What makes you angry? I want to see you angry. How do you look when you're depressed? You shouldn't be dating and sexing anybody till you know at least some of those things, because that's what makes somebody outside your door in the bushes, really, because you didn't ask those pertinent questions.
Right,
are you
exactly.
Jealous? Are you? Have you ever stabbed anybody? Have you ever gotten really pissed and keyed a car? You know, people don't ask this stuff. And here's another crucial one, too. Before you start sleeping and thinking you're all coupled up with somebody, what's your freak number? What is your frequency number? I cannot tell you how many people are married to people who are not compatible with them sexually. And they should have found that out early in the dating process, you know, because he will, like, want sex, and she's like, okay, if I get it once a week, I'm happy. That's not going to make a good marriage, because you're going to be either raping it or forcing it. It's not good. But people never talk about it in the beginning. They just make assumptions because, as Cheryl said, they send in the representative, and that woman is overachieving, acting like she's the big freak of the week, and she really isn't, and she's so tired of it, or vice versa, and it just doesn't work out.
Right, right. That is so true.
Now, when you're dating, at what point do you know that you're in a relationship? You know, you're just dating, you're going out here and there, you know. When do you figure it out? Man, we're in a relationship. Or should it be announced?
Heck, okay, when you have this question, I just have to laugh out loud. because you should be talking about it. I am not going to assume by anyone's behavior that I am in a relationship. I am going to ask you, before I even start dating you exclusively or on a regular, what does relationship look like to you? And you should then be able to articulate an answer and say, well, you know, for me, it's when I'm sleeping with somebody. Or for me, it's when I'm only seeing you. I'm dropping my number two. You know, there should be some understanding of what that looks like. And then, based on what they say to you, when you feel like, okay, these are sort of the things he told me to look out for. These are the things she told me to look out for. Then you say, hey, can we talk? And I know men and women think that, men always think, oh, God, here we go. Can we have that talk? Not every man is that way. It helps a man if the woman tells him exactly what she needs, what she wants, and what she's about. He may gripe about it, but no man likes to be the mind reader. So women out there, say to your man, hey, listen, hold it. We've been doing this thing for about 3 months. It sort of sounds like the things you told me a relationship is for you. Can I ask you, where are we right now? Do you want to be exclusive? Because I'm still dating. You know, a lot of people assume, wait a minute, I thought you were only sleeping with me. No, baby, I sleep with 5 people. I have a heavy rotation and a 6 man. Are you kidding? The women think that. But it's not true. So don't assume that because he's seeing you a lot, you're the only one. You are going to be so surprised and hurt when he tells you, no, I'm not exclusive. I'm not, no, I see a couple of people. So never take it as an assumption. Talk about it, talk about it, talk about it.
Basically, what you're saying is communication, which is something I'm a big fan of. And a lot of guys don't like to have that talk. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, my God, what a drag. She's going to start putting pressure on me. Because that's the way a lot of guys think. You know, oh, my God, she's about to lay the pressure down on me. You know what I mean? And but having an understanding is everything, you know, because guys don't understand what women want or expect and this, that, and the other. And a lot of women assume that the guy automatically understands what she expects, what she wants, and where they are. And he doesn't have a clue. He's thinking one thing and she's thinking another. She's from Venus, he's from Mars.
Well, you know what? No. I always give this analogy. How many people go to a steakhouse, ask for a steak, and then say, you know, nothing else? And then the person brings you the steak, and you go, I don't want this medium rare. Well, you didn't say anything. Oh, so I'm supposed to be happy with this. No, it's preposterous to think that way. And if a man that you're engaged with in terms of relationship, hanging out, dating women, if you're listening, if he doesn't like that conversation, guess what? He isn't mature enough to handle a commitment with you at this present time. If the conversation of where you actually don't make him read your mind is occurring and he acts a crazy kind of way, like he's shutting down, like, oh, here we go, then you simply say this, okay, I get from you that you don't want to have this conversation of clarity. No, I mean, you know, I just don't want all these parameters, these rules. You know, you sound like you're getting ready to be all serious. Well, I am, because I thought, because when I met you back at the beginning, you said you wanted a commitment relationship at some point. Well, I'm asking, is this the point? You don't want to have this conversation? Well, okay. Okay, no problem. That's your indication that he's not really serious about committing with you. And that's best. You want to know that. So if he acts funky when it's time to have that conversation, that's the answer in and of itself. You can keep it moving. And then when he assumes that you're dating, you go, no, baby. Remember, we tried to have that conversation. I'm dating John because John is up in front and he's telling me about commitment. He's telling me what he wants. We've already set some rules and parameters, and we're exclusive. Later for you. And vice versa. I mean, we're mature adults. That's why you should be mature and a consenting adult before you engage in any relationship, so you can have these mature conversations and not have to read any minds.
Right. That is so true.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. Makes sense to me. So, in other words, yes, there should be an agreement, you know, made, a conversation had about when you're in a relationship. Now, once you get into this relationship, or once you both understand you're in a relationship, some people have different ideas about what a relationship is. You're saying it's very important to outline each person's understanding of what that relationship is, because person A, the woman's understanding might be, hey, we're exclusive, We're not going to have sex with anybody else. We're going to date each other exclusively. Where the guy may have an understanding, okay, we're in a relationship, but we're not married. You know what I mean? If I want to hang out with my girlfriends, I can.
Yeah. So, again, the first conversation you need to be having in once you're in the relationship is, what are your expectations? Because, see, people are devastated by an understanding that their expectations are not going to be met. That is a crushing blow. That can be alleviated by simply being completely 100, as people say, and being upfront about what it is that you want. And see, I don't understand when people don't have the ability to communicate at that level, because you're not going to get what you need to be happy in this life. You're only going to keep walking by as an immature person, not ever speaking up and being assertive about what you like. Because remember, this conversation works for both of you. It doesn't just work for the person who's coming and saying, hey, what are we today? Where are we in this thing? It also works so you can say, no, that's not where we are. That's not where I am. That's not where I am. I'm going to be doing this. And that helps you to stay happy in the situation. So if you're not ready to have that conversation, get out of it. But if you are, break it down. Okay, expectation. So what does that mean? Are you seeing other people? No. Are you sleeping only with me? No. Are you putting your mouth anywhere on other people? No. I'm only doing XYZ with you. Break it down. Like you're two.
I say that too. I think a big part of a relationship is communication. You know, because you have to say what you feel and say what you want. You know what I mean? A lot of people, I think that's what happens with relationships. A lot of people don't communicate. And I say that too as well. You know, I can't read your mind. I think it's good to talk.
Yeah.
You know, when you're mad or something is not going right, or you feel a certain type of way, say it. You know, it's not what you say. It's how you say it. You know what I mean? You don't have to come angrily across. You know, you just sit down and talk to them and, you know, let them know, you know, what your expectations are. I agree with that. Really,
and you know what else,
everybody,
Cheryl?
Everybody, grab your...
You know what... Oh, sorry. Let me just put this point in. You know what else that does is it allows you to create a meeting of the minds of understanding. You understand this communication between you is raw and real. There's no guesswork here. That actually simplifies your life, but it also allows you to put boundaries that is important to you. Now, if I see you out on a date, I'm letting you know, you probably shouldn't call me for a few days because I'm going to be pissed based on this conversation. You know, that also lets people know, where are you going to be if this thing does something differently than you've sort of agreed upon with each other. And that's respect. You know, you don't want to be engaging with anybody not knowing what their boundaries of respect is. You know, if I'm lying with you, baby, and it's 1:30 in the morning and your phone goes off and it's a girl, a woman, I'm pissed. You know, that's not going to get you whatever. Whatever is your constitution, let it be known. Like, let me tell you what's going to piss me off. You know, put all that out there.
Right.
And if they don't like it, keep it moving. They're not for you.
Everybody grab your pens and paper right now. This is the end of our show, and we want to make sure you have all the appropriate information that you need. So grab your pens and your paper. And, Leah, once again, make sure everybody knows where they can find your show, where they can find your book when it comes out, and so on.
Okay, so the show, again, is Life, Love, No Chaser. You definitely want to tune in this Wednesday. We're going to talk about how to break the keys and the fears of success both. So should you be a person of balance or should you be a person of focus? And how are these 1% of people in the world wealthy? We're going to tap into that on Wednesday. So it's Wednesday at 3 p.m., Life, Love, No Chaser. It's at blogtalkradio.com/... Life, Love, No Chaser. We're also on Twitter at LL No Chaser and on Facebook, Life, Love, No Chaser. And the phone number to call Wednesday at 3 p.m. Eastern is 347-637-3718. And the book will be out hopefully in a few months. I'm working with Brown Publishing, and they have access to every Kindle, Amazon, you name it, Barnes & Noble. So that book will be coming out. And that's called Dating One-on-One, Setting Your Own Rules. And that's basically it. You can also look at me at leah.leone. I do relationship counseling, premarital counseling, coaching, relationship coaching of all time and all kinds. So bring me your problem. Email me, You can ask me. I give some consultation time for free. If you didn't want to press one on Dale's show, you can always find me and ask me anything, and I'll give you the answer.
Yeah, because
thanks.
A lot of people,
yeah.
That's private stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. People have private things.
Yeah. You still, now who are you dating again?
You are a good interviewer. Look at you come back with a home run. So I always like to suggest that I am a woman of discerning casual nature, and I have the ability to be limitless in my relationship experiences, which just means all that fancy means that, you know, I like to mix it up. I don't like to be committed to just one situation, though I am monogamous in that situation. I still hang out with, different kinds of men, because I like intellectuals who don't like sports, and then I like a guy who's sports all day, but maybe not necessarily intellectual. I like to have my choice in cake and ice cream and do all that.
I love it.
Because some of these guys out there listening to out there listening to that accent, and I just know that the inquiring minds would like to know. So,
well, sure, they can go on Facebook and check me out.
Meaning Dale. Meaning Dale. Inquiring
Meaning Dale. Well, I like
a
strong man.
I'm just blessed today. I've got both of my loves on the show.
There you go. But I got to say, I like a strong man who is very traditional and old-fashioned in his role. I like a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman, and I'm not going to cross that. I just don't. I'm funny about that. You know, so I'm into traditional roles, but you got to be strong to hang out with me, I think.
That is wonderful.
All righty,
that
then.
That is wonderful.
We have, it has been a pleasure to have you on our show. It started out pretty rocky, but in the end, man, did you give us some wonderful information. All of it made sense. And so, everybody, thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thanks, Dale and Cheryl.
Thanks, Leah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we'll see you later. I love you guys.
And, of course, we're going to have Leah back on the show when her book comes out, I'm sure. And we're also going to make sure we help her promote it on the Change the World blog. Change the World blog, www.thechangetheworldmovement.com. That's where you should live at. Be inspired and keep up with what's going on in your world. Thanks for joining Let's Change the World this week. We'll be back next week doing what we do every week, trying to figure out a way to change the world. I'm going to leave y'all lovebirds with this one today.
Best I can for you. What it seems not enough, and you know I can, even when you're not there. But it's not what you are.
Thank you.